Gracious God, we do praise you. We worship you this night. We say, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Lord, we do praise you this night for this great behemoth psalm of praise. And we ask that you would receive our lisping before you as true from the heart worship. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. It's great to see you tonight. We are turning in your scripture to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. This is a psalm of praise to God for his creation and his rejoicing ultimately in his own creation. Let us hear God's word. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose. The valleys sank down to the place you had appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nest. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships, the Leviathan, which you form to play in it. These all look to you, to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. And then, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Derek Kidner calls this psalm truly one of the giants of praise. And so it is. One of the finest hymns, he says, written by Sir Robert Grant. The one we just sang, O Worship the King, takes its origin from this psalm. It is a mighty hymn, one of the earliest from my childhood that I remember. I can remember being in the Lyons Presbyterian Church and hearing my grandmother sing more off-key than I do. And that's saying a lot. But they sang forth, O worship the King, all glorious above. And I was looking in the Trinity hymnal at how many hymns, at least in this hymnal, take their being, as it were, from Psalm 104. One is, O worship the King. That's number two. Number 122, God, all nature sings thy glory. 123, God of everlasting glory. 126, my soul bless the Lord. My soul bless the Lord. The Lord is most great, with glory arrayed, majesty his state. The light is his garment, the skies are his shade, and over the waters his courts he has laid. What an inspiring psalm this is. What a psalm of praise. If we're talking about having a series of theology that sings, then this portion of Scripture sings. It is one that does turn the doctrine of creation into doxology. Doctrine turned to doxology. And what a doxology it is. We see that this parallels, this psalm in a sense, in many ways, parallels Genesis 1, the creation of the universe. We have to be careful with that. It's a bit fluid, but it happens. I will be referring to that as we go along. James Montgomery Boyce speaks about this psalm in the first 30 verses being creation rejoicing in God. The first 30 verses, creation rejoicing in God. And then verses 31 through 35, God rejoicing in his own creation. What a marvelous psalm it is. James Montgomery Boyce, when he preached on this psalm, said this about God's glory being shown herein. We will be most satisfied in God when we know why God himself is most satisfied in God. And Jonathan Edwards says this, that God delights in creation because creation displays his glory. And the glory of God is God's chief end in all his works. The glory of God is his chief end in all his works. And so we say, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all his works. The psalm opens with this magnificent statement, bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, in my full being, in my heart of hearts, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment. This first verse presupposes that we believe God is. We believe God is. He exists. And when we see what he has made, when we see ourselves, we must burst forth from the heart and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." We realize that this psalm is, in a sense, written as a rebuke to Egypt. There is an Egyptian hymn to the sun god, which was written 1400 years B.C., and it worships nature as such. This psalm gives praise to God. This Psalm 104 gives praise to God for what he has done in nature, in his creation. We are those who are privileged to have his word, which reveals these great things of him to us. You are clothed in splendor, and we believe that he is. We believe in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light." Covering yourself with light as a garment. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God is light. He is seen in light, as existing in light, inapproachable. I saw a reference to Ezekiel, the first chapter. And very briefly, I just want to refer to that chapter because it gives some scene of this splendor that surrounds God. And I would encourage you to go home and read that whole chapter, but just little portions of it. "As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud and brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually. And in the midst of the fire, as it were gleaming metal, and from the midst of it came these four living creatures, and they sparkle like burnished bronze." And it goes on to talk about these living creatures. "Their appearance was like burning coals of fire, the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures." Here again, torches of light. "And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. Their appearance was like gleaming beryl." And he goes on and talks about these living creatures. You know, the living creatures that surround the throne of God. And their likeness was like the expanse, shining like awe-inspiring crystal, spread out above their heads and under the expanse of their wings. And he goes on and on. "Their appearance was like sapphire, the likeness of a throne. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord when I saw it, and I fell on my face." God is light. He is brilliance. It is an amazing thing that we cannot fully grasp the uncreated. And yet he's chosen created things to show himself and to explain himself to mankind, either in visions that they can understand or in the creation of the earth itself and the universe. We realize that to deny that there is a God, that there is in the world, that there are those who deny that there is a God. We realize that they, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. And therefore God gave them up. And they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Peter Jones, Truth Exchange is his ministry. He talks about whether you are a oneist or a twoist. And you've heard him speak, many of you. If you believe, if you're a oneist, I should say, it means that you're in effect a pantheist. You're a person who believes that everything just sort of happened and everything is of the same essence. Well, we who are theists, who are Christians, we believe that there is God, and then there's, secondly, what He created. There's two. We are twoists. If you're a Christian, you're a twoist. You might not have ever thought of yourself in that sense, but you are a twoist if you believe in God and you believe He created the world. And if we don't, we are exchanging the truth of God, which can be seen in nature. And of course, it's fully explained in His Word. We do not want to be a oneist, or we really have nothing. We have oblivion is what it really would come down to. Those that have worshipped idols have not done so well. We remember how Belshazzar worshipped the gods of gold and silver and wood and iron, and the hand appeared on the wall of the palace and began to write. And Daniel, the great twoist, was summoned to tell him what in the world this writing was. And of course, Daniel comes and tells him, in effect, your kingdom has been weighed in the balances and found wanting. It has been divided between the Medes and the Persians. And of course, his kingdom has ended. It is the old saying, I forget who wrote it, that the mills of God grind exceedingly so, but they grind all. And though we have those in high places in our day that deny the scriptures, that deny God's word, there are the mills of God that ultimately dealt with Belshazzar and will deal with those who do not truly believe that there is a God who has created the heavens and the earth. We see then that there is this great God of light who created the heavens and the earth. He stretched out the heavens like a tent in verse 2. He lays the beams of His chamber on the waters. He makes the clouds His chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes His messengers winds, His ministers a flaming fire. And several of the commentators see this as, in effect, day two. God said, Genesis 1, verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the second day. God has stretched out the heavens like a tent. It's as though He lays the beams of His house in the skies to make us understand it. It's spoken of this way. He rides upon a chariot as though He rides upon the clouds that spark their lightning and their flames. What majesty we saw Sunday evening of God, as it were, riding on the clouds as we were in that worship service. And it continued. When water came through the stained glass windows as it came at such an angle, and it came down as it overflowed some of the containers in the steeple. And as we began to sing Saints of Zion, I had moved from the front pew to the communion table so that I could help serve communion. And I looked out as we began the prelude, the build up to Saints of Zion, and there it had turned completely white. You could hardly even see the trees in front of the sanctuary. And it was as though we were taken up in my thinking. Maybe it's just an overly vivid imagination, but we were just taken up to God. And the world was in turmoil, as it were. But God was declaring His glory, and we were protected in the midst of it. And His supper was before us. And it was a truly glorious moment, that the one that made all of this that we're hearing outside has ultimately come down and offered us Himself and offered us this supper. And I had wanted to wait to say all that, but it just took over. The Lord, the one who's created the heavens and the earth, who rides upon the wings of the wind. I've never seen such clouds as we've seen this year pouring out this water. I looked, and Columbia has had 12 inches of rain in the first 20-something days of July. That's even better than Vidalia. They haven't had but 8. It is a sight to behold as we were driving down Highway 11 coming east. And in the rearview mirror, about 2 weeks ago, we saw these gray, blue, black clouds that looked like smoke going up. It was an incredible sight. It was not lightning that we could see, but the sunset was above it, and the colors were almost like the rainbow. And I said, the heavens are truly telling the glory of God, and the firmament declares His handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. And truly there is nowhere that that voice is not heard. And that leaves man inexcusable in even imagining that this happened by accident. That time times nothing equals all that. Day 3. He set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved, at least until He's ready for it. You covered it with the deep as with a garment, and water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder they took flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they should not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. Here, there's an allusion, I believe, to the flood, that they not again cover the earth. Here is a great scene of the separating of land and water. Of course, we know it happened at creation, then it happened again at the flood. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Besides them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. And God said in Genesis 1, 9 and 10, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And the waters were gathered together, and He called seas. And God saw it was good. He was rejoicing in His creation. Every day at the end of those 6 days, He says, and it was good. And it is good. The birds of the heavens, they sing among the branches. We have an owl. Vicky, he was out this morning. Susanna, Kate had a nightmare. At 4:39 this morning, she appeared beside Vicky's bed.
And I thought Vicki was telling me she had had a nightmare, but then I looked, there was a little figure standing over there besides Vicki telling us that she had had a nightmare. Well, I knew that was over. If I have to speak that next day and I get waked up, I might as well get up if it's 2 o'clock. So I got up after trying for a few minutes. Well, I left the bed. I knew I had to let her get in bed with Vicki. And as soon as I got downstairs, Vicki, the owl, the bird of the air, the night creature, was hooting marvelously. We have seen this creature sailing through our yard. And I don't know if he's a barred owl. I don't know what kind he is. George would know. But it was amazing to hear that. And he didn't go very long with that sound. But it was amazing to see God declaring his praise in the mouth of an owl at the pre-dawn hour. You cause the grass to grow. Psalm 104, verse 14. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. Here we see the abundance. God is not gone off somewhere. He is working in his creation. He is providing for his creatures. He is providing for man. Here in the Middle East, it was an arid climate, and they needed wine because the water was not good. They needed oil because of the dryness of the air. I wish we had a little more of it. And they needed bread. Their staff of life truly was bread. And God gave them all these provisions. The trees of the Lord, he goes on in verse 16, the trees of the Lord are watered abundantly. I've just planted 36 apple trees. Hot climate apple trees, mind you. And some of them bloomed the first year. I couldn't believe it. They said, don't let an apple come on that tree. Pull it off or it'll break the tree. It'll make it break. It's not strong enough until the third year. God has given us fruit trees, cedars that grow on my farm. I can see them now. Oh, I don't know how old they might be. Cedars. It's not cedars of Lebanon, but red cedar, Georgia cedar. In them, the birds build their nest. The stork has a home in the fir trees, the high mountains for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. And God said, Genesis 1, 11 through 13, let the earth sprout vegetation yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed. I'm glad he did it. And I like longleaf pines too. And I'm glad it's raining this summer because they need it. Evening and morning was the third day. Then the fourth day, in Psalm 104, beginning at verse 19, he made the moon to mark the seasons. We turn now to this regulation of time that God has made to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness and it is night, and all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. And man goes out to his work and to labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. In Genesis 1, 14, and let them be signs for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. What a great God. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. the regulation of time. He has set that into the order of things. Then there is the rejoicing of the creatures themselves. In verse 25, here this is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you form to play in it. Leviathan in some places is translated sea monsters. And God said, let the waters swarm in Genesis 1:20. Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. He was rejoicing in what he had made. It showed that he was a God of glory. Then he makes food for all the creatures. The young lions roar. They see the sun rising. Verse 22, they steal away. We've read that. Oh Lord, how manifold are your works. Do we really sit quietly and take in the glory of a thunderstorm? I wonder sometimes. It's almost like they don't happen anymore like they used to. At my grandmother's, I know y'all are tired of hearing granny stories, but the lightning would be so fierce when I was a little boy that we would put our feet up on the coffee table and make sure we sat in the front part of the house where there were lightning rods, because the storms would be so fierce. And there were such stories of my grandmother's childhood, of the family being divided, so if the house blew away, they would not all be taken. And the children, she and her brother, Roy, were put in the kitchen, and the rest of the family were in the front room. And the wind was so strong coming up that hill at Petros that she felt that kitchen lift off the blocks and fall back down. And while we kept our feet up was Ms. Gibson, her neighbor back in the 30s, was sitting just after they got electricity. Lightning struck the house, and she was blind and sitting in the living room. And that radio, I guess like they had on the Waltons, blew up. And lightning ran the sill of the house and killed two bird dogs under there. So we sat with our feet on the coffee table. We didn't want it to be near the sills. God was speaking. My great-granddaddy, when these storms would come up, he would say, the old master is doing his business. Let's be quiet. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, making his chariots in the heavens, giving us food in due season, the living creatures coming forth. And then let us make man in our own image, and we enjoy this food that he has made. That's the sixth day. Man, the pinnacle of creation. And yet man, the sinner, the fallen, the one who said, I don't believe God has the best in mind for me. I believe that the devil tells the truth more than God. And we have a noble ruin of this world. You think, what would those apples have been like if there hadn't been a fall? I'm not talking about Adam's apple either. The great God was not going to let go of what he had made. He is not going to be finished with what he has done. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. I've been amazed by Psalm 124, the last couple of verses. Apparently it's written by David, and he says there, the snare has broken, and we have escaped. And he had been in a dreadful situation, and he got out of it by God's providence. And he closes and he says, "And our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." And this Lord of heaven and earth, he is the one that has broken the snare that our unbelief and our oneism that Adam, in a sense, went over to. He has broken the snare by staying caught like a bird in the snare of the fowler himself. That was the Lord Jesus. And he, by his death, he broke that snare. And we went free. He didn't. That is the good news, that even in the face of a fallen world, God has the last word. And even in our salvation, he is revealing a part of his glory that would not have been seen, apparently, without salvation coming. So long ago, many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. The creator of the world, who is the radiance of the glory of God and the imprint of his nature and upholds the universe by the word of his power, he took on flesh. He went to the snare for us. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Yes, he is the one who calmed the storm when it came to the disciples in the boat when he was asleep. Peace be still. He took on flesh for us. And Thomas said, "Unless I see his hands and his feet, the nails, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will not believe." And 8 days later, they were inside again, and Thomas with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Jesus is glorified in human flesh. He is wearing this uniform of creation, apparently throughout all eternity. That is his love. That is his power. That is his ability not to be undone. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? He asked Job when Job asked him all those questions. Where were you when you have all those questions? I will close with this. Seeing that we have been drawn in with angels to see great and mighty things, John Piper talks about God rejoicing in what he has made and getting glory out of it. And he said, "Can you imagine when God made things, when he made matter?" And the angels had never seen matter because they are like God. They are not matter. Imagine the awe and the wonder that exploded among the angels. They had never seen or imagined matter. They are all spirits and have no material bodies. When God brought material stuff into existence and all its incredible variety and utterly unheard of qualities of sight and sound and smell and touch and taste, this was totally unknown to the angels. God had made it all up. It was not like the unveiling of a new painting made of all the colors and paints we are all familiar with. It was absolutely, totally, unimaginably new. And it says, the sons of God sang together for joy. And I will close with these verses. It says, and this is God glorying in what he has made, starting in verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. And other translations say, the Lord shall rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. And I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Yes, there will be a judgment day, and there will be a sorting out of right and wrong and justified and sinner. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness only dwells. And may we be among those who have truly believed in this great God who has made the heavens and the earth and the cross to bring us in. Let us pray. Lord, we have nothing except your word and what we see that you have made. And we give you praise, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to become one of us, that we could go home to heaven with you forever, totally undeserved and totally unpurchased by us, but bought and freely given and freely offered to all who call upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, may we do it. May we truly not be among those who are unrighteous, who do not find you when you are so clearly called, calling out to us to come. Oh Lord, we rejoice with you in what you have made. We look forward to the climax of it all. By your great mercy, we can say that. In Jesus' name, amen.